Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Ask the Mayor. I'm WFIU News Director Will Murphy, filling in this week for Adam Ragusea. And our guest this afternoon is Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop. And we should start out by saying, because of the holidays and all the crazy schedules that everyone's under, we are pre-recording this program on the preceding Friday, Friday the 21st. And so we won't be able to take your phone calls or emails, and we apologize for that. But we are most grateful to have Mayor McKillop on the program with us this afternoon. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Will, and I'll say Happy New Year coming up next week to all of your listeners.
Well, thank you for that, and we can also say we're wrapping up 2007 with a bang of a program. We saved the best for last. We've got Mayor McKillop here on Ask the Mayor.
Well, and you know, Adam told me the last time I was on it was my last time, and I said, Adam, never say never. I may be back. I could always be back as mayor sometime in the future, or something may happen that I get back on next week.
That's right. That's right. You know, let's since we're talking about that, let's just start off the program by talking about your future. Now, there was an article in the paper this week about you're being under consideration for a city manager position in Kentucky, Owensboro, Kentucky. Now, you were just mentioning before we open the microphones here that you're going to advise them that that's not going to happen. You want your name withdrawn.
Yeah, I was honored to be put into the group of finalists. But the day that I was, in fact, invited to come back down for the finalist interviews, I had a schedule conflict and had an interview with another position that I believe I'm probably going to accept, and so I asked the folks in Owensboro to please take me out of consideration of the finalists, and from what I've heard about the other two gentlemen that are being considered, I'm sure that whatever decision they make, they're going to have a good city manager that can work with the mayor and commissioners to make that an even better community.
You've got a couple of positions that you're considering, one of them in the community, one outside the community. How do you make that decision?
Well, I try to base it on the long term. What's long term best for my family, and that's going to keep my skills and marketability high. And certainly, as with everybody, the income's important. But most importantly, to me, is what kind of quality of life is it going to offer for my family and for me? And does it add to my skill set and build on what I already have? So that's fundamentally it. And I'm a big believer in values and virtues, so I always want to make sure that the organization I'm joining shares a lot in common with my values and my virtues. So that's how I evaluate job offers.
Don't suppose you'd like to tip your hand and tell us what these two positions are?
I'll only say that they're both south of Kokomo.
But one of them is in Howard County?
No, the position is not in Howard County. Neither one of the positions are in Howard County, and one of them is out of state.
I see. Okay, so one is in Indiana and one is outside Indiana.
Right.
It's like playing 20 questions here to try and guess what the answer is. Well, that's got to be kind of a mixed blessing, I guess is the word for you, because on the one hand, you've invested so much time in Kokomo and you've grown up, and I hear all kinds of stories from Mary Catherine Carmichael about your growing up in Kokomo. And you've invested a lot of time in the mayor's position, but you've also taken quite a beating, I think it's fair to say, over your term as mayor. So how are you feeling as you look to possibly leave the community?
Well, I'm feeling good about the state that we're leaving the community in. My team and I have transformed this city. It's a much more beautiful city than a few years ago. It's pointed in a better direction. City finances are back in good shape after we inherited what the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns called the worst financial condition of any city in the state. So, I'm proud of what we've accomplished here. I'm born and raised, as Mary Kay has told you, in Kokomo, but I've also already lived all over the United States and all over the world, and I think, that's important for people to do that, to experience other communities if they can. So my heart, no matter where I'm at, is always going to have a big chunk of it carved out for Kokomo, and I may be back one day, and certainly I'm going to stay engaged in what's happening here and trying to play some role in making sure that Kokomo is a better community. But, you know, in the end, if we can, if we end up having to leave the community for a while, that's, you know, that's something I'm willing to do, you know, as I've done in the past.
As you wrap up your term in office and hand the keys over to Greg Goodnight, what advice do you have coming in for him coming into that office?
Oh, I'm going to write him a nice note, but I guess one thing is you've got to be sure that every morning when you're standing in front of that mirror shaving, that you can look at yourself and feel proud about what you're doing. And I think it's more and more important for our leaders, and our public wants this, that we not play politics, that we do what's right. And I think as long as he does that, if he does what he committed to do and doesn't play politics and really does what our residents need to make this a better community, that he'll be able to look at himself every day in the mirror proudly and know that he's doing what's right for our city. So, I mean, that's fundamentally it. But, you know, I've not been one that's played the political games my 4 years, and that's probably one of the reasons I've taken a lot of heat, and I guess that I would encourage him to do the same, to not worry about the politics and do what's right.
Now, you referenced earlier that you're leaving the city in good shape, but he's expressed some concern about the finances.
Well, yeah, and I guess, you know, I think it's common for people that are coming in to fill some shoes that they've never filled to have a lot of questions. I think most of it from my conversations with him stems from him maybe not understanding yet exactly how municipal finance works. And certainly before I came into government, you know, I was not 100% sure on how everything worked and was calculated and income versus the cash reserves and, you know, all of the multitude of things that involved city government. But since he was a city councilman, I thought he might be, and the finance chair, he might be a little more familiar. But we have, since those comments were made, prepared for him at his request an analysis of the city finances that I'm sure now that he's reviewed them show him that our city financial position is in very good shape today, and that the cash reserves, which were down to almost zero when I took office, are now well restored, so that he's got plenty of money to run government for the next couple years. But we have told him and our community and council now for 4 years that long term the city does face a problem, as cities across Indiana do, and that is that our personnel costs, largely related to contractually mandated salary increases and health care cost increases, are growing at a rate much, much faster than our city revenue is. And so when we projected out 10 years into the future, starting about 2 years out, there's a large gap that starts growing between revenue and income, which would force the city to start eating into cash reserves, and eventually the cash reserves would be depleted. So, you know, without a doubt, a lot of cost cutting is going to have to be done a few years out. But right now, the financial condition of the city is very strong. In fact, most cities in Indiana are very envious of where we're at right now.
When you speak of the financial integrity of the city and the increase in costs versus increase in revenue, it might be an appropriate time to talk about how the landscape will change in 2008 in terms of the Commission on Streamlining Government, I guess is what you might call it. That's not its official title, but the panel, the Kern and Shepard Commission, that recommended reducing substantially levels of local government. What will that mean if that's adopted? What would you, first of all, like to see adopted among the 27 points that commission report offered, and what would that mean for the finances of the city?
Well, I think it would be good news for the city. In fact, I think if Mayor-elect Goodnight and the employees continue to provide good ideas on cutting costs, as they did since I've been mayor, it really allowed us to cut the cost of operating government. So if they do that, combined with implementing all, and I read the report, it's a 45-page or 46-page report. I read it in detail, and there's nothing in that report that I don't agree with. I think they should all be implemented. I doubt they will be. Unfortunately, I think politics will play a role in this, and it's going to be difficult to get many of these steps put in place, but I agree with all of them. There's some that I would probably, to be very honest, expand In fact, I plan on writing a letter to the commission and to the governor to say that a few areas where they could actually expand the scope of what they're proposing. But I think that implementing those steps and this communities being frugal, as most cities are, that we will avoid much of that gap between revenue and expenses that are forecasted out in the future. So, I'm very hopeful that Kokomo and cities across the state will do well financially. And, you know, if you look at the report and if you look at information put out by the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns, of all the different types of municipal government, local government, whether it's county, libraries, schools, cities, the most efficient in terms of keeping costs under control have been the cities. So I'm proud of that, and Kokomo's done a better job than the average of cities. You know, last year our spending only went up 0.47%, so less than 0.5%, even with the incredible costs we had, increases we had in health care and fuel costs and utilities like, you know, homeowners are also.
Could you elaborate a little bit on which elements of the Kernan-Shepard report you think are politically too difficult to get through or at least face long odds, and which ones you'd like to expand?
Well, one that I think is going to face a lot of opposition right away is the idea of one county administrator that administrates the county and then selects professionally trained individuals in a lot of the other positions that today are elected. And I think that's an important one because today many, and we see it in Howard County certainly, and we see it in other counties, some of the folks that are elected to fill jobs, like financial jobs, have no financial background, where if you have a professionally run county government with where certain degrees have to be held or experience has to be obtained before being appointed to a position, I think it ensures a much more professionally and less politically run government. But I think that's going to be difficult to do. I also think combining the township assessors and the township trustees is an important step. But you know, already we're seeing that their lobbying groups are coming out and attacking the plan. One, for example, that I think could be expanded, to be quite honest with you, is I think county government's outdated. I think we could go to regional. You know, we divide the state up for economic development purposes into regions rather than looking at it as county by county. And I don't know why we couldn't look at the same regions as being governing regions also, rather than having, you know, an antiquated form of government called counties that dates back to when people were using horse and buggies and didn't travel great distances. So that's one that can be expanded. One I particularly liked in there that's not been talked about much, there was a recommendation that employees of a municipality could not serve as an elected position of that same municipality. And we have that in Kokomo, and we've seen very poor decisions made because of that conflict of interest. And I would like to see that expanded to include retirees. You know, for example, if you have a police officer or a retired police officer serving on the city council, they have a vested interest in seeing the pensions increase, the health care increase, and the salaries increase. And so often, or always, I will bet you, they vote in favor of those kind of proposals, which are bad for the taxpayers.
So you're saying, for example, I mean, I think of another mayor who's on this program in the course of a month, and that's Fred Armstrong, former police chief in Columbus. Under the outline that you suggest, you think it's a bad idea that someone like that would be in a mayor's post?
Fred's doing a great job. I know him personally, and let's be clear, the Streamlining Government Commission recommended that. I happen to agree with it. I can't speak to the specifics of what Fred's voted for or signed or not, but I do know in Kokomo that we have had retired police officers. We've had active police officers. In fact, we're getting ready to, in January, have an active police officer that's going to be a city councilman. And they, you know, one, it gives them a level of influence within their department that they should not have. In fact, he could probably usurp the police chief on many decisions if he wanted to. And secondly, he's got a conflict of interest and really should abstain from voting on any issue related to the police department or related, certainly, to salaries and health care and retirement for police officers, because it's going to, in the end, line his pockets if he votes for an increase. So, you know, in most other areas, that would not be allowed, and I just don't think it should be. I think it creates a definite conflict.
And in Terre Haute, they've got that whole thing about whether the fellow who was elected mayor by 110-vote margin qualifies for election under the Minnie-Hatch Act.
Yes, I've heard about that. I haven't obviously gotten into the details, but I do know that, you know, when we had volunteers signing up to work for my campaign, that we had several who had to decline helping out or donating to my campaign because they worked not even directly for, but distantly for a federal agency or were appointed by a federal agency. They were concerned the Federal Hatch Act might apply. So we always avoided having people like that on my campaign or involved with my campaign. So it'll be interesting to see how that case in Terre Haute develops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, of course, as you suggest, is a difference in federal versus state or municipal employment. But
right.
Even so, let's turn a little bit, and I'll remind our listeners quickly that we're about halfway through Ask the Mayor. We're talking with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop, his last program before he moves on to a new chapter in his life. And we appreciate wrapping up 2007 with him. Let's turn our attention. We should also point out, I guess, that this program is pre-recorded. We're speaking Friday morning, the 21st, so we're not able to take phone calls or emails. Let's turn to some specific items of the past week and month. Just this past couple of weeks, you dedicated a new fire station.
We did, and it's something that I'm very proud of and makes me even more proud of our fire chief and fire department. We dedicated Kokomo's first fire station in over 40 years. It was a $1.25 million project, but the unique thing about it is that it didn't cost the taxpayers or the residents of Kokomo a single penny, and that's because we negotiated a first-ever unique deal with Walgreens and Subway and Wendy's to vacate a station that we currently had, an old station on the west side of town, and move it out farther west where we can provide better protection. And basically, they bought our old station and built us a new station at no cost to the taxpayers. And actually, 2 days ago, our men moved in there. The equipment and the men were moved over there. So they've been serving the west side of town from that station now for a couple days. And I can tell you that person for person, the firefighters love the new facility. It's state-of-the-art, and it's a facility that now the city can use to basically copy the plans as they put together a long-term plan on replacing our other dilapidated stations.
Now, did you just kind of swap the land there with these developers for these various franchises?
Well, it was more than swapping, and it involved all of them. We had to get all the parties to agree. We ended up signing an agreement with a developer that was representing Walgreens, and they actually bought the land for the new station. They built the new station for us, and then they get the rights to the property that we have on the corner of Sycamore Street and Dixon Road, a very marketable property. And they're going to build a Walgreens there, but in order to do it, they needed to get the property to the north that Wendy's owned and that Subway owned, and so they're going to tear down those facilities and actually build new ones a little bit farther north. So we're going to get not only a new fire station, we're going to get some other economic development activity by getting a brand new Wendy's on the west side and a brand new Subway. So it was much more complicated than a simple land swap, but you know, we were able to work through all those complications and really improve public safety without costing the taxpayers a dime. And you know, as you look at things like the Streamlining Government Report, more and more cities and counties and states are going to need to look for unique private-public partnerships like this where we can improve our services without increasing the cost to the taxpayer. So I'm darn proud of this, and especially proud of the chief, because it's just a crowning jewel on top of all the other new equipment that he's been able to provide to his department.
Now, I was just trying to get a sense here. Does the city still own that original land with just surrendering the rights, or have they actually?
No, okay. we actually did
change title
of it.
Okay.
You know, they're building the Walgreens right across from a CVS, and which is where the obviously Walgreens wanted to be. So there were some competitive offers initially from CVS where they just wanted to basically buy not the land, but
the rights, basically.
The rights to it, and let us stay on it to keep Walgreens out at that time. But that wasn't as good from a public safety standpoint for our residents, because these outline stations were built over 40 years ago, and outline stations should be at the edges of your city limits. Well, our city has since grown in 40 years, so they're no longer at the edges, and we really needed to get this station out to the new edge of the northwest part of the city to improve response time for any kind of fires out there. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why we rejected the CVS offer, to basically keep us locked into the current location.
I was kind of surprised looking at the report on this dedication that the square mileage that the fire departments in Kokomo have to cover has basically doubled over the past couple of decades. That's a surprising figure.
Well, and it has. And, you know, a lot of people sit back and complain about government and, you know, say, why doesn't government get more cost-effective and efficient like business? And we do, and that's just a very good example of how, you know, coming out with better equipment, better positioning our stations and things like that, we have been able to cover more square footage and, you know, have fewer fires and better response time. And, you know, that's the fire department's one example, but we've done the same thing, whether it's in our trash pickup or our wastewater utility. And, you know, just like business, government has to become more efficient.
I want to ask you, since we're talking a little bit about the issue of public safety here, I'm intrigued as a new administration takes over, there's new leadership in the police and fire departments. And the police chief, if I understand the press reports correctly, police chief is going to be a guy who's been on the force not that long. Should one be anxious about the manner in which these public safety agency leaders are chosen, selected by whoever happens to come into office?
No, I don't believe so. Just as the report on streamlining government says, I think we want to make sure they have their credentials. And certainly Rob Baker, who's going to be the new chief of police, he's been a policeman for many, many years. He's only been in leadership in terms of he's been one of my majors for the last, I'll say something like 6 or 7 months. So I'm not concerned at all. I know, you know, Major Baker, I know he's going to do what he believes right is right for the community. And, you know, my goodness, we've had Bill Clinton was president when he was in his early 40s, and John F. Kennedy and some other folks like that. So I don't think years of experience or age always tells you how well a person's going to do in a job. And, you know, sometimes I think some new young blood actually can come in and shake things up. But I know when I ran for mayor and was elected, I put together a team of business leaders to take resumes and interview people to make sure they had the skills necessary to perform the functions, and you know, chose a chief that had a background that no other chief really had had. And obviously our chief thought enough of Mr. Baker he was actually a patrolman Baker, to make sure he became a major, and now he's becoming chief. So I think he'll do a fine job.
I was distracted during that whole explanation, and your argument makes sense, but to hear Matt McKillop reference Bill Clinton and John F. Kennedy as examples of great leaders surprised me a little bit.
Well, no, President Clinton, I admire him for a lot of what he did and things he was able to accomplish. Obviously, I disagree with some of his exploits in the Oval Office, but, you know, that doesn't discount some of what he was able to do. But I can add, if you'd like, a good young Republican president in there of Teddy Roosevelt, that I think was actually the youngest president when he took office. So I don't think age has any bearing on how well somebody's going to do it. And, you know, in business, you have very, very young people that are leading some of our largest corporations now, like Google and Yahoo and other companies like that. So I'm not a big believer in age and is dictating how well somebody's going to do in the job or number of years of experience they have in some position. Sometimes that leads to a bureaucratic mentality where you just get the same old, and, you know, that's not my style. I think things need to be shaken up once in a while, and maybe Major Baker's going to do that.
Let's turn a little bit to a different form of economic development, and that's this investment by a Japanese firm that we were talking about before the program.
Yes, we're excited about that. It's not a big investment. We have a Japanese company called Renesas that has opened up an office in Kokomo, and your listeners may recall that about a year and a half ago, I went with the governor on a trade mission to Japan because I believe that foreign investment in Kokomo is extremely important, as it has been to Columbus and some of the other cities that are part of your program, in fact. And we're proud to have them come into town and open an office here. They are a key supplier to Delphi Electronics and Safety, one of our largest employers. And they're not only going to service Delphi from this office, they're going to service clients around the United States. So it's a good investment to have here. It's a 27,000 people worldwide organization with annual sales of $9 billion, and we're just proud to have them choosing Kokomo for a place to locate an office. It's the start of something good, and I hope Mayor-elect Goodnight continues to go to Japan every year and to work to bring more Japanese and Eastern and international investment into Kokomo.
Now, obviously, economic development has been something that you've been focused on for the past 4 years, one of your primary campaign agenda items. In the Kokomo Tribune recently, there's a report that Kokomo Center Schools downsizing because of a discrepancy between capacity and the student enrollment. Is that a bad sign for how economic development is doing in Kokomo?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a sign that schools, just like municipal government and business, have to become more efficient. And Kokomo, in terms of our population, has been flat for many years, and for many years it's projected to stay flat for many years out. So it's not bad. We are doing much better than most communities that have seen huge losses in population and huge losses in jobs and huge losses in average wages. I think Kokomo has been lucky to hold our own. I think it's just showing that the schools realize they need to become more efficient, and they need to streamline and find ways to reduce the cost to the taxpayers. But there's no doubt, you know, a lot of those schools were built when what today is called the baby boomers were young kids. So the World War II generation came back, and there were an awful lot of kids, and new schools were needed. And now population is aging, and we don't need as many of those schools as we had. And it's always difficult to close some down, but I'm sure Dr. Little and his team will make the right decision for our community.
All righty. We've got about 3 minutes left in the program. We're talking with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop. And in these last 3 minutes of the final program of 2007, and as you're wrapping up your term in office, I wanted to spend some time just asking, what lessons have you learned during your time there, and what accomplishments over the past 4 years are you most proud of?
Well, I think one of the lessons is that government can make a very big difference for a community. You know, being somebody who really liked Ronald Reagan and was kind of pushed into my brain that government's part of the problem, I have realized that government can be a very big part of the solution. And I'm most proud, as I said, that we've transformed our community. If you come into town, it's a much cleaner city. Our properties look better. Our downtown is a sparkling jewel now, where before it was kind of looking like a rotten core of an apple. Our Superfund site is now cleaned up. The main acres, the creek is being cleaned up. And all of that's part of the aesthetics of our city. So, you know, just coming into Kokomo and presenting an image that makes people want to stay here and businesses want to locate here is one of the things that I'm most proud of. But I'm also extremely proud that after inheriting that horrible financial condition the first few months that I was in office, that we were able to restore the city's finances to a very good position without laying off a single employee. And that was a commitment I made to them, that if they would help me, that we would recover from this, and we have. And, you know, as I look back, I think those are the two things that I'm most proud of.
Now, during your term, there was oftentimes a lot of contention. As we referenced, you took some hits, and there was some friction even among the Republican Party about your administration. If you had to do it all over again, knowing all that, would you do it again?
No, I would not. You know, and I said when we had to make some of those changes because of financial problems that might cost me the election, and I told our employees that, and that regardless, it's the right thing to do. So a mayor needs to do the right thing, regardless of the political implications. And I wouldn't change a thing. And you know, again, I can look at myself in the mirror and know that I didn't play politics and I didn't compromise my integrity to achieve anything, and that I delivered on every single promise that I made this community when I was running 4 years ago. And I think that's a fine record for any public servant to look back on and say, you know, job well done.
I want to make sure that you understood the question I'm asking. Would you run for mayor again?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And I may. And that's not out of the question. I've already got people asking me to run for mayor or higher office, and I've said, you know, at this time I want to get back in business where I can refine some other skills and learn some new skills and maybe back in this city or another city or who knows what level running for office.
That's what the new year brings, is changes and new opportunities. So,
that's right.
Well, I want to thank you for the past 4 years of visiting with us on this venue, and I wish you all the best in 2008, wherever you end up.
Well, thank you, and wherever I am, I'm going to tune in through the web and listen to your program.
Thank you very much, Mayor McKillop. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We've been visiting with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop for the final Ask the Mayor program of 2007. Join us in 2008. And our first guest of the year will be Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. For engineer Mike Pashkash, I'm Will Murphy. Thanks for listening.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.